I think it might just be me, but I always find it interesting that we are a people at Christmas time, when we are thinking back to the Nativity, that we are people looking back in time. And on this Sunday, whenever we think of Zechariah and the Old Testament reading, the people who were there, the people who were recognizing Jesus, they were actually looking back themselves to particular prophecies that validated and gave significance to the birth of Jesus. The Gospel of Jesus begins not with the birth of Jesus, but with the story of John the Baptist. His father's name was Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest who served in the Jerusalem temple. He and his wife Elizabeth were older, and they were childless. But it all changes when an angel appears to Zechariah and tells him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a son. The angel appears, and Zechariah, I think, we can all identify with as someone who was tired of asking, tired of hoping. And the angel was not enough proof for him to understand and be joyful at the promise of a child. So the consequence is that his initial doubt sees him losing the ability to speak. That finally comes to its end when John is born. In Luke chapter 1, verse 59, it says, "And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. Asking for a writing tablet, he wrote, 'His name is John.' And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God." It's a very difficult thing to imagine, but think if you can for just a moment, if you were not able to speak for a whole year. What is it that you would say when you were finally able to speak? The Benedictus, or Song of Zechariah, was formed in Zechariah's heart during those months when he was just an observer, when he wasn't able to speak or contribute, when he felt that he was left out of the conversations. It was his thoughts that accumulated over time. It was those feelings and those things that he really, really wanted to say, but he couldn't. After 9 months of silence, it all comes streaming out. It's been well rehearsed, perhaps, in his head, because he knows exactly what he wants to say. And it's praise and prophesying about the future. In one sense, it picks up where Mary's song left off. Zechariah is similarly amazed by how God keeps his promises. God has visited, redeemed, raised up, saved, shown mercy, and delivered, so that God's people might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness. The birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, has lit a fire inside this man. In the same way, when we understand God's commitment to his people through Jesus, we should want to explode in a similar way with praise. Think of those incredible assurances that you have that maybe you alone know. But that also you are protected, you're safe, you will never be cast out, you will never be lost. You will be raised up at the end. Blessed assurance in belonging to God and having access to a lively hope. Zechariah prophesies and praises God for two things. First, for the salvation that comes through the Messiah. And second, praise for his own son, because he will be the prophet who will prepare the way for the Messiah. Zechariah may have doubted at first, but clearly now in this declaration of praise, he has fully embraced God's will for his child. He understands how everything has connected up with the Old Testament that has gone before. The prophet Malachi spoke of John the Baptist, and he said this, "Behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." We cannot always know the will or specific plan of God and what he has in mind for our lives, but we can embrace God's will for those around us. In the garrison, we have regular visits from potential chaplains who are exploring what army chaplaincy is about and how it might work for them and their vocation. Incidentally, if any of you are considering a vocation as an army chaplain, please come and have a chat with me afterwards. But these opportunities where people come and gather are brilliant opportunities to meet others and listen to them sharing their journey of faith stories. Some, but not all, will end up as chaplains because they'll be called to different things. One who visited in April this year has just commenced his chaplaincy journey with the Scots Regiment, and we were able to catch up earlier this week. Playing a part in embracing God's will for those around us is an absolute joy, and it's another means by which God calls us to participate in his harvest field. Zechariah declares, "For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." He is deeply affected by God's will for his son, because he's deeply affected by the one for whom his child will be a forerunner, for whom he is preparing the way. The language here is something to think about. The Messiah will bring salvation, forgiveness, tender mercy, light, and peace. The dominant theme here is one of light and darkness, that which we've been thinking about and which we always think about through the time of Advent. The classic Christmas passage of Isaiah chapter 9 speaks about the people walking in darkness who have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. The tender mercy of God is one of the most intimate truths in Scripture. Words to bring to mind a loving mother tenderly caring for her children. Where some think of God only as demanding or angry, sitting in judgment or causing natural disasters, this isn't the picture of Luke. God our Father, being the one who is the creator of thunder showers and dewdrops, of oak trees and blades of grass, the God who heals, the God who mends. We all have fragile and sometimes bruised souls, and he takes the time to care and wash and clean our wounds with tender mercy. In the passage, one word stands out, and I think it's worth thinking about it briefly. Dayspring, sunrise. The dayspring is part of the sunrise. It's the bit that happens before the sun actually rises. Those of you who are up before the sunrise will know that at dawn, there's that glow before the sun rises. And as the sun progresses, the glow gets brighter and brighter. And that's the dayspring, that little bit before sunrise. This is what Zechariah is talking about. The long night that has followed before means that the day is now almost here. The sun has almost risen, but he has not come yet. In a few moments, the sun will come, the day will begin, the light and the redeeming power of Jesus will be seen. Malachi spoke of the coming Elijah. He also prophesied of this coming sunrise. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. The things that keep us in darkness, we are able to cast off, because in Jesus, the child of Christmas, there is freedom. Zechariah knows that a new day is dawn, that forgiveness and salvation are coming, that we may walk. Jesus has delivered us from darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved soul, his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.